Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
You and I like puns. Well, you know, I mean, like, you know, I'm also a pretty big Brad Pitt fan.
I mean, I think most listeners of the podcast know at this point that you are a pretty big Brad Pitt fan. Say that five times fast.
Pretty big Brad Pitt fan. All right, I'm not going to try. I could. I'm not going to do it for the sake of...
You are a promoter of the films of Brad Pitt, one might say.
Yes, even if it's for a contrived bit, I still am. So we were talking about movies, and you were on voice to text, and it auto-corrected to Brad Pitt.
Bro, you know what I hate? It is 2024, and voice to text still makes you speak to it like it has a hearing aid in. It's so fucking annoying. I can't even, like, we've gotten to the point now where it's got predictive texting too, right? So, like, not
at
only
least it knows swear words.
Not only does it not listen to you, but then it tries to guess what you're saying, right? So it's like a passively aggressively gaslighting you, kind of like, oh yeah, here you go, we're gonna say this again. This shit didn't even know I was trying to say Brad Pitt in our chat conversation the other day, right? It thought I was trying to say Brad Pitt. And I was like, what?
Bread doesn't have pits.
What the fuck is a bread pit? And now I'm waiting for a chance to use that pun in conversation, right? Like,
well, you don't have to wait for 4chan.
For 4chan? Is 4chan still a thing?
You don't have to wait for 4chan for somebody to take advantage of this pun.
Why is that, Zig?
Because I had fun with ChatGPT. Make a rough draft for a movie called Levin, where Brad Pitt is a detective trying to solve a murder at a Jewish bakery during Yom Kippur.
What?
The setting of the movie is dark and gritty, and in a vast, sprawling city, it is always raining. Make the tone and feel of the movie similar to the movie Seven. The main character is Jack Darcy, played by Brad Pitt, who is a grizzled detective assigned to the case. Jack has a drinking problem and recently got divorced.
What?
He's okay. Struggling with his sobriety, and throughout the movie, he has a strange relationship with his ex-wife, who is played by Reese Witherspoon,
what?
Who works as a nurse at the city's hospital. They have a young son, which is a point of tension.
What? I don't like the way you said, which is a point of tension. That implies so much and leaves so many other questions. Is it his son? Is it not his son? Is the son a point of tension because he wants to be more like his dad and she's like, your dad's just a drunk? Or is he mad because, like, dad doesn't come and pick him up from his games because he's too busy being a detective? And what does this have to do with Brad Pitt?
Jack's partner, Detective Levi Cohen, played by Mark Ruffalo, was just...
Why?
Perfect casting, that's why. Was just promoted to detective. Levi grew up in the neighborhood where the murder occurred. Levi's main conflict is remaining level-headed and objective as these crimes are happening close to home. Levi acts as an optimistic guiding light for Jack, but as the case gets darker and more brutal, Levi's resolve is tested. Levi has a corny, dry sense of humor that Jack visibly gets frustrated at, but never verbally.
Is this all the ChatGPT prompt, or is this you?
No, this is me.
Okay, so this is the prompt you put into ChatGPT.
Yes.
Okay.
Jack so you and ChatGPT have an acrimonious relationship that grows closer as the case progresses and challenges their faith in humanity and their own sanity.
So you had like a whole writing table session with ChatGPT.
The second half of the movie takes place during Hanukkah.
Okay.
The number 8 signifies new beginnings. Each night of Hanukkah, a different type of person who had some form of new beginning happen in their life becomes a victim.
So because it's Jewish 7, you decided to pick Hanukkah. So it's no longer 7, it's 8 crazy nights.
Beat 7. The movie is called Leaven.
Oh my.
And the climax of the movie is when Jack and Levi realize that Levi is the target of the 8th night.
What a twist.
All prompt. This isn't even ChatGPT yet. Are you with it? You still with it? Are you here for this 8 crazy night? All this off of a Brad Pitt pun, huh?
Jack, ma'am, I'm Detective Jack Darcy. Can you tell me what happened here? He was here early in the morning preparing for the day. I went to check on him and I found him like this. As Jack,
I found him like this. Body. No, oh god, that was terrible. I'm so sorry.
As Jack kneels beside the body, his brow furrows in concentration, scanning the scene for any clue.
You know you're part of the problem, right? Man, let me tell you, the level of insanity is rising up and crashing through. This is Doc.
And Ziggy.
And we are... The Flood. That's right, your favorite weekly pop culture digest, bringing you our pop perspective.
To put the culture in context.
And make the mainstream make sense.
Because if we don't make sense, we don't make sense.
Holla. Cash register sound effect. Shout out to the patrons.
Enraged Peacock.
And...
You will now have the Super Robot Unicorn song stuck in your head for the rest of the day. You're welcome, Austin.
Shout out to y'all. And shout out to all the other listeners. You know where you can find us at. It's at the Flood Pod on everything.
And that is on everything.
Including the Patreon. You know, if you've enjoyed your time here, where we take our time to dig into some of the headlines of the week, some of the mainstream events, and
we do have some other things to talk about and catch up on, because we have been on a little bit of a vacation.
Yeah, you know, every now and again a little breaky break is necessary to keep
since
the quality
we've been gone,
up. Since you've been gone,
the key bridge has been crossed for the last time.
Hey, the second time since the beginning of the country. I don't know if that means anything, but you know, the Christians out there thought the eclipse that happened meant a whole lot.
Yeah, I have cancer, superpowers, a spirit possessing me, and a newfound relationship with God, but I can't tell which is which, because it all feels weird.
And honestly, it wasn't even just the Christians. It was the entirety of the conspiracy theory internet went crazy over the fucking eclipse that just happened, like everybody else did, right? But in the special way that they do.
We have some fun basketball endorsement updates that are worth talking about.
Oh, and we got rat beef updates because you are, and look, everybody knows at this point how this shit is going. And by the time this drop, it may have gone nuclear or not. We'll find out.
I'm going to give you this week's hit on the algorithm, and we're probably not going to talk about this song at all and just go into the related topic, Tertiary 2. But this week's hit on the algorithm is... Wannabe by Glorilla.
Just like J. Cole thought, he... Wannabe in the middle of this mix that was about to happen, but quickly did a heel turn on that. And
shout out to Glorilla. Now step aside for a minute.
Listen, I'm not gonna say anything about that. I just know that. No, the song is fire. It's already doing its numbers as like the new trend. There's a trend behind it already on Instagram that's doing, you know, meme numbers. So they gonna run that spin up. Just like everybody was running up 7-minute drill until J. Cole decided
he put it on his album called Might Delete Later.
He told us
he might delete it later.
Like a late night drunk tweet. He's like, you know what? I was wildin'. I was all
to Annie. I had too much almond milk.
People was saying all kinds of crazy shit in my ear. They was like, you know, Cole, how you gonna let that nigga stand on that? Like, you was trying to be friendly, and he was like, fuck all that. And Cole was like, you know what, Kendrick? I got my chin out. It's all good. We good. I'm going to stand on it. And I still rock with you, dog. And then took the song down. This is the first time, I think, in rap history that a diss track has been deleted from history. The diss track wasn't even bad, right? Like, everybody, the narrative, I love how the narrative kept changing as the internet reaction to the song developed. Like, first, everybody was like, Kendrick should have known better. Oh, Cole ain't here to play. Oh, Cole let this nigga know. Then everybody, oh, it was a warning shot. Cole didn't go hard because it was a warning shot. He was just letting Kendrick know that he ain't to be played with like that. Da 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 da. And then Cole came out and was like, hey, I'm sorry, bro. I was tripping. I don't even know what that's about. That's not even me for real. Like,
so here's three banger tweets I saw.
Crazy.
In a row.
Crazy.
If Kendrick really liked that, he'll diss that ninja again.
Smooth. Okay. Right. Kendrick. Okay. Like, listen, though. Listen, though. Cole's response was exactly what Kendrick has been asking for this entire time, right? Since Control, he was like, run that. Like, everything you on, for everything I love, hip-hop is about competition. At the end of the day, all this music shit is cool, all this artistry, that's what's up. I love how everybody gets to express themselves and be uniquely them, but fuck you, I want it on game. Right? Like, that's how it was supposed to be from jump. No. But then everybody got mad and sensitive rappers got tucked back into their pajama clothes.
Oh, that's really convenient, because the next tweet on this banger three in a row is, Kendrick is the first person in history to win a rap beef purely off of aura. That's crazy.
I don't know. If you follow the Joe Budden podcast, shit about to get crazy, right? Like, about to get, by the time this drop might have gotten. We'll see, though. Oh, we'll see. We'll see, because...
Number three, Kendrick hasn't tweeted, posted anything. He has had no festivals, no concerts, no IG caption. Just one verse that shook everything up. And it was a surprise feature. No music video, no cover art. He really is the boogeyman.
All right, let's talk about this, right? Because the big argument that, especially Drake has been, because like a lot of people have been pointing out the subliminals that Drake took at Kendrick on the last album, how like you, and he's been saying how dudes will like, you know, just disappear for months, won't put out anything. But the argument against Drake is Drake has been putting out shit so consistently that the quality of his content has dipped, right? Like, yeah, Drake, you are still here, right? Like, you're still in the game and you are, I guess, making noise, but like, how loud are you really being? To your point, Kendrick put out a feature verse and the internet hasn't stopped talking about it yet. Right? And this is the last thing he did since Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, right? And there is a debate happening on the caliber of that to some of Drake's shit, when Drake literally just broke Michael Jackson's record for most number one hits.
I can't remember who said it, but they compared Drake to Michael and Kendrick to Prince.
Kendrick!
Oh, right.
Kendrick
said that.
Prince outlived Mike Jack. Right? There's that debate still stands too. Right? That debate still stands too, because like,
Prince had a greater artistic contribution.
If you are a music connoisseur, those kinds of people tend to lean towards Prince favoritism, right? Like, nobody would ever say that Michael Jackson wasn't an epic artist.
No.
Right?
No. I would never say that.
And I don't think but that's where we're at. Like, literally, that's where we're at right now. Is we are at Prince and Mike Jack levels. Right? Like, that's a perfect comparison for Kendrick to make. Right?
Because J. Cole fans, like diehard fans, tried for two whole business days to convince us that To Pimp a Butterfly was a bad album.
This nigga said two whole business days. Bro, and listen.
I saw this one tweet where they were like, "No, you like To Pimp a Butterfly? Name one lyric." And the best tweet I saw was,
Listen, Jay, you know how Cole fans do, bro. That's why he went platinum with no features became a meme.
He made three albums with like hardly any features. But 2014, double platinum with none.
Which is why it was crazy that he even partnered up with Drake in the first place for First Person Shooter, right? And Cole's whole run lately has been crazy, right? Because for the entirety of the beginning of his career, he was like a very secluded artist, right? He didn't do any, he produced everything by himself, right? He wrote and he ran by himself, right?
He did let me out though.
I'm not gonna lie, the apologizing was crazy. I didn't see that coming, which is what makes me wonder.
I've never seen that in hip-hop.
No, ever. I don't think that's ever happened before, except for when Lupe apologized to Kendrick. But Lupe didn't really like come out and diss Kendrick, though. He just was like, that nigga stole my style. It's happened twice now, right? Kendrick has had people start beefs with him and apologize twice now. Whereas, you know, Drake has consistently been battle tested, right? And I think that's part of the character arc with Drake here is that...
Hold on.
What do you mean, hold on?
Hold on. Drake was beefing with Meek Mill at the time where Meek Mill was robbing to Nicki's battle.
It's not just that, dude. Like, we talked about last time. Don't forget, like, there was a period where Drake was getting clowned on all the time by, like, industry hip-hop, right? Like, Drake literally got peed on. Like,
yeah.
Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Yeah. Literally get peed on.
Everybody wonders where this villain art came from, and it's because Drizzy without the beard was out here getting pushed around, right? Like, they was walking all over this nigga. And they've respected Kendrick from the jump, not only because he come from Compton, but because he has displayed his caliber from the jump, right? Like, Section 80, if we go back to Section 80, that shit was wild. That shit was a classic. Good Kid, Mad City was a classic. To Pimp a Butterfly was a classic, right? Like, was a classic. Damn won this nigga a Pulitzer Prize.
Right? There are so few vocal musicians who have ever won a Pulitzer.
Right there, you have two qualifiers for contenders of best rapper ever, right? Like, Drake has had more hits than Michael Jackson. And that's not saying nothing,
well,
right?
Hold on. I want to say, we had an episode where we came up with, like, the five qualifiers of the measurements. And while you're talking, I'm going to see if I can remember them.
I mean, I'm saying, like, call that, because I don't even remember the measurements. I'm saying right now, when we are looking at these two artists, and we are looking for qualifiers to which to measure them by, we can say that for the quality of music that Drake is putting out, there is an argument to be made whether or not that shit is consistently as good as Drizzy and the brand would like to have us believe. But he can say that he has the most number one hits on the Billboard chart ever. Because before that, it was him, Mike Jack, and the Beatles. Right? Right? Like, that's it. That's it. Who else are we talking? There's not really too many people that come close to those three right there. Right? Number one hits. Kendrick has a fucking Pulitzer, though, dog. That's insane. That's insane. How many other... Can you name another pop artist, right? Another rapper, another country star? No. No, you can't.
There isn't.
You literally can't. Eminem don't got a fucking Pulitzer, nigga.
So, here are... He does have an Oscar. here are, I believe...
Something Drake will never have.
So, if I remember, these are, I believe, most of the qualifiers that we had is commercial success, peer respect, fan respect, number of iconic songs, longevity, technical skill, and battle aptitude.
And look, and that was the thing, right? Like, Drake has the line, you not Kobe to us, right? Like, the thing is Drake doesn't see Kendrick as that guy. He thinks Kendrick is gassed. He sees it as he was the one that put Kendrick on, because Drake did take Kendrick on Kendrick's first tour, right? Like, Kendrick's first run around the country was with Drake when he was coming up. So Drake kind of looks at it like Kendrick is kind of stabbing him in the back here based on the way that their previous relationship has played out, right?
Okay. So let's talk about 7-Minute Drill. Actually talk about the track. And after you...
I don't even want to talk about that, because I have a whole ass another take that I think is insane to me, right?
Because, well, real quick, I actually agree with you with what you said to me off record, where you said the bars are good, but the disses are weak.
Yeah, because Cole, there was no way I would imagine a reality where Cole doesn't get busy on a diss record, right? Like, to say that Cole's pin game isn't there is a crazy statement.
Yeah.
Right. I get Kendrick's bravado because, like, he's been saying, like, he wants to, you know, he wants the competition
for a while
now. And he while everybody's waiting for an album, he posted videos of him doing burpees in the park, right? Like, prison burpees in the park and shit. Like, yeah, this is what I'm working on, right? Like, no. But Cole has been consistently over the last couple of years been dropping a lot of the best verses that I would say this thing has dropped in a long time.
The Offseason was a great album.
Yeah. Might Delete Later is a great album that I feel like is going to get overshadowed by 7-Minute Drill, right?
Download it, though, because he might delete it later. He already deleted one track.
Man, listen.
And Kanye is known for putting patch notes on his albums, so...
Man, listen. And the irony of this is Drake has been ducking the Kendrick issue for so long... And I'm sure Drake would get mad right now if we were sitting in front of this nigga and I was like, you were ducking the Kendrick issue. But, like, the reality of the situation is after Control drop, them niggas was really on site since then. Except for Drake is not an on site kind of guy unless he knows he can absolutely dominate the competition. He's been quiet for a lot of people, including Joe Budden. It was wild that he attempted to take on Pusha T, right, with the Duppy freestyle. But then once Edidon dropped, it was all quiet on the Western Front after that, right? And a lot of people can say that that was because of Jay Prince. But at the end of the day, Drake has proven that he's going to do what he wants to do. And his reaction to... It's like that has been kind of slight, right? Like, the fact that Cole jumped out there before Drake did was crazy, which makes what Joe Budden said today when we were recording even wilder, because, yeah, if we don't hear anything by the time this drops, I'm going to assume that Drake isn't going to say shit, right?
He better. People have been... constantly roasting him about it, and they have videos where it's like J. Cole releases this track, Kendrick, he's off in the mythos atmosphere wherever the fuck Kendrick just goes to an ethereal plane after he leaves the recording studio.
I told
where's
you
where's Drake? He's fucking drinking with
that shit wasn't even about J. Cole. I honestly feel like that shit wasn't even about J. Cole, bro.
Kendrick's was not about J. Cole.
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like J. Cole just caught strays off the jump because...
I feel like J. Cole almost felt, like, pressured into it.
Because this shit ain't even about Kendrick versus Drake. Let me check for a second, because here's my take. The take that I was running earlier, right? Bro. This ain't even a hot take. Bro, if you really know it's like that, then you know that what this really is... This whole thing has been orchestrated by fucking Metro Boomin, dog.
I was about to say, this almost feels like a battle for the soul of hip-hop.
No, well, I mean, ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to, right? Because of the two artists who are duking it out. But this whole beef was started by Metro Boomin, who should go down as the biggest instigator of 2024. It's not Benjamin Netanyahu. It's Metro Boomin. Or Cat Williams. It's fucking Metro Boomin, dog. Metro Boomin is like the biggest hater of the year. It's like, nah, he mad because Drake beat him out. Drake and 21 Savage's album beat him out for best rap album of the year. I can't remember if it was at the Grammys or the BET Hip Hop Awards, but I do know that that night when he lost, when Metro Boomin lost to Drake and 21 Savage, right? This is gonna sound mad petty and childish, but just follow me. Metro Boomin unfollowed Drake on Instagram. It's been on between the niggas since then, which is why the whole we don't trust you shit, right?
Like, that album track thing is wild.
The also Metro Boomin's We Don't and Future's We Don't Trust You album is crazy, right? Like, that album is fire. The fact that Future, who's been Drake's guy for a very long time, right? Like, them two have been like fucking side by side, like stepbrothers type shit.
Weren't they in that video with Kawhi Leonard together?
Yeah, like, they have several joint albums together, bro. And like, dog, so the fact that Future chose Metro Boomin's side, right, I feel like also hit Drake in a really weird place. Drake has been rapping a long time about how he feels like the industry is fake and how he feels like you can't, you know, people will smile in your face and then turn their back on you. And now we have this situation where it looks like all that shit that he was worried about.
Where were they when he was walking? Now he runs the game. He's got the whole world talking. Oh shit, that's Kendrick.
You not Kobe to us, but it turns out Kendrick may actually be Kobe, but we're gonna see. This is like if Jordan got to spar off against Kobe, right? Like, and not Wizard era, not Wizard era Jordan.
They did.
Not Wizard era Jordan.
Yeah, 96, yeah. 97, 98, Kobe was in the league with Jordan. And they were in at least one all-star game together. And that's how their like relationship actually started, because as cold and icy and evil as Michael Jordan is, he had a liking for Kobe Bryant because, well, he was Kobe fucking Bryant.
I guess the closer comparison would probably be LeBron and Kobe, right? Drake would be LeBron, Kendrick Kobe.
No, I don't feel like that's quite right either.
It don't even matter at this point, because at this point, it's really all on Drake. And there are a lot of people making the argument that no response is really the best option here, because it just makes Kendrick look thirsty for attention, like Cole said. It does kind of pave a lane for Drake to just be like, yeah, no, this guy just wants attention and I'm not giving it to him. Here's how it goes, right? In my mind, I see it as if this does escalate to diss tracks. And there was an argument recently about, like, are diss tracks dead? Like, are we done with that? Because, like, to some people, it's kind of corny. But if this goes where Drake ends up being the victor, I feel like we slide into a more commercial, more
the soul of hip hop battle.
Yeah, I don't that feels corny, right? Like, I don't necessarily,
it feels corny, but at a certain point
it feels corny though. It does feel kind of corny, right? Because like, at the end of the day, this is just music, right? And it is like, it's It's like saying if Duke University wins, then basketball really doesn't. It's not. It's like a university or it's like an industrial thing. Like it, there's no actual competition.
It would be like trying to make rock music without a guitar.
I and that's not to say that Drake isn't hip hop though, right? Like, because I've never really thought that Drake doesn't have any pen game. It's always just questioned the caliber.
I'm saying if Drake wins in this battle, then that whole aspect, if he wins, then he can just disregard that entire aspect for the rest of his career. And then at that point, the competitive battle nature of hip-hop would just die.
I think...
So Kendrick, at this point, my take, Kendrick is fighting for the soul of hip-hop.
I don't feel like Kendrick is fighting for the soul of hip-hop. I feel like Kendrick is fighting to reignite the competitive nature of hip-hop. Because Drake is not a competitive artist like that, right?
Like, Drake doesn't have bars like, ah!
Drake has literally said that, you know, he, even though he is a fan of hip-hop, he's been so disenchanted by how he was treated in the industry that at this point he does not care. He is Killmonger, right? Like, he has literally, I'm turning on the thing that I loved, right? Because it did not treat me like the son that I thought it would treat me like, right?
Well, I mean, so you were saying that Drake might be like, he's just doing this for attention, but look how much like, attention Kendrick got for one verse.
But yeah, and that's the argument, right? Like, they're saying Kendrick is just doing it for attention because he doesn't ever drop anything, right? But then the argument there to be made is, does Kendrick doesn't have to drop like that because the quality of content when Kendrick drops is like that, right? Like, look at who Kendrick's mentor was, Dr. Dre, right? And Dr. Dre will consistently go down in a lot of these arguments as like one of the greatest hip hop acts of all time, right? Even though he has like
the most influential figure in hip hop,
but he's only got like 2, maybe 3 albums, right? Like, Andre 3000 doesn't have his own solo album.
He does, bud. He doesn't have his own solo album where he says a goddamn word.
But people consistently name him as, like, you know, in, like, the top 10 all the time, right? So it's like...
Do you feel like Big Boy gets disrespected?
Sometimes, but also, you know, there's arguments to be made there. But Drake's argument is, I've got more hits than Michael Jackson. I've written for some of your favorite artists, even though, yeah, I've had people write for me. I also write heavy bars, right? I've put on more people than some of your other favorite artists have. Right? Like, I brought you Future. I brought you the Migos. I brought you Kendrick Lamar. Right? Like,
have you given Lil Wayne enough love, though? That's the question, Drake.
I wonder how many people are wondering where Wayne stands in this whole thing, right?
Ooh, good question.
I don't think there's any way that Wayne doesn't stand by Hank.
He didn't die for no reason, Drake.
I don't think there's any way Lil Wayne doesn't stand behind Drake in this equation. I would be surprised to find out that
Lil Wayne got pardoned by Trump. No, never mind. That was Kodak Black.
Yeah.
Or was it also Lil Wayne?
I don't. Maybe. I don't feel like.
Ergo, Drake supports Trump.
All right. So that's where I was going, right? Like, I feel like if Drake comes out on top of this whole competition, rap firmly supplants itself into the commercial giant that we know it as now, right?
Yep.
For the people who are saying they want more artistic, more genuine, more backpack-ish style, more boom bap type rap.
I do love me some boom bap.
Listener of our podcast probably do enjoy the boom bap. Right.
I mean, the going back to when our podcast first started, I told you that my ideal podcast would be us talking over an Adult Swim bump.
I feel like our podcast would have really worked on Adult Swim, period.
We'd do so good on the Eric Andre show.
I'm really ready to see how this shit escalates, dude. I'm sorry, like, I'm way more interested in this than I am the Diddy shit.
I want Kendrick to throw a diss track at J. Cole, and then the last verse be like, yeah, he was just catching strays. Drake, come at me. Write a 48, 32 to J. Cole, 16 to Drake.
Because, like, I don't know the angle that Drake could even attempt to come at Kendrick with other than, you don't drop like that, right? Like I've been out here, right? Like, the whole, he wasn't with us shooting at the gym.
He's foaming at the mouth for this. This is the most, I mean, control, obviously, because he went explicitly at them. But since Control, this is the most direct, like, fuck you, let's get, like...
Yeah, like, run that game. Like,
except maybe... maybe back to back.
And fucking Metro Boomin is just sitting back like, yeah, nigga, it's like that. Now you gotta put your whole career on the line.
It's like that!
That's what Metro Boomin wanted, though. Like, that's what Metro Boomin wanted. He was like, nigga, you're not that. You're not him. You're not really him. Like, I'm out here really putting in work, and you're winning off of what Metro Boomin felt like was a mediocre album. And now he's got the two biggest artists of our generation.
Future is...
No, Metro Boomin.
Yeah, Metro Boomin. You say Future and Kendrick are the two biggest?
No, Drake and...
Oh, okay, Drake and Kendrick. Those two beefing. That's what you were going to say.
Have those two beefing, but those two getting ready to, like, potentially ruin each other's careers. Dude, like, I mean...
Good luck, Drake.
You saw what pulling back for J. Cole did.
I feel like J. Cole, if Drake gets murdered, everybody will do a 2020 and be like, you know what? That was pretty smart.
Yeah.
Kendrick could ruin Drake so bad that Aubrey goes back to Jimmy in the wheelchair.
Yo, if he wheelchair Jimmy, if any wheelchair Jimmy reference pops up in this shit, I promise you. Oh my God, the internet's gonna go insane. Right? Like, we'll see. We'll see. I know we've spent a lot of the intro talking about this Drake and Kendrick shit, but I mean, it's like one of the biggest, it's like, if you're into music, it's one of the biggest trending things that's happening right now. Not
talking
a whole lot
about
else.
How you have a shot, take a seat, you have been got.
Not a lot else is happening right now that isn't Taylor Swift or Beyonce getting ignored on country radio stations because, let's just face it, you know, she's too black for country music.
I did see
music.
That TikTok.
That's crazy. That's a...
You're black, honey. You didn't live on the farm. You picked the farm.
Yeah, that was a wild statement. Listen, this not
when,
everybody
when I
needs.
Heard her say that, I was not, like, why did you post that?
Not everybody needs the internet, bro.
Not everybody needs the right to vote.
Should have the internet. Also, you don't get to dictate who makes what kind of country or makes what kind of music, right? Like, you got Asian people doing indie punk records, right? Like, fucking Russian people.
I'm on record as saying, like, the current bastions of rock in the world are England, the Swedish peninsula, and Japan.
Don't sleep on Latin America, first and foremost. Second of all, you got Russian people making trap music, bro. Like, it's Slavic trap music out there. They be running them track suits and fucking just dipping
down
all kinds of...
Shout out to Mr. Bug out there in Slovenia.
I'm saying,
shout out to Mr. Bug in Slovenia showing me some Baltic trap music. Stab you with a knife, Slav life.
I don't know how else to explain this to you, but globalism is already here. The Jews have won. If you don't know, even the two biggest rappers in the game right now are both Jewish, dog.
Speaking of,
are we going to talk
World
about...
The Central Kitchen has ceased aid to Gaza after the IDF killed seven volunteer workers.
We were going to talk about what I thought we were going to talk about. I'm going to go make a drink. You go ahead and give our listeners the rundown if they haven't heard yet.
The World Central Kitchen, which, as you can tell from the name, likes to feed people in need. And if you haven't paid attention to the news for 6 months, there's a little bit of a humanitarian issue in the Gaza Strip, which is located on the western side of Israel. Not to be confused with the West Bank, which, strangely enough, is on the east side of Israel. But roll with it, I guess. And the World Central Kitchen had volunteers in Gaza feeding starving refugees, and 7 of them were killed by IDF drone attacks.
Bro, and it's crazy because you mentioned the West Bank, and from what I understand,
the West Bank, from what I've been hearing, is just being left alone.
As the Jewish representatives were arriving in Israel to try to make like peace talks, and try to figure out some kind of ceasefire plan, Israel announced that it was seeking to seize land in the West Bank, which has nothing to do with what's happening in the Gaza Strip.
Nope.
That's miles away.
Yup. The way you said that makes it sound like it would be us in Maryland driving to Wisconsin, when realistically it would be like us driving to Delaware, but you're right.
Still significant. It's like a whole nother state over. You still have to cross the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, right? And then drive through the Eastern Shore to get to Delaware.
Yeah.
Right? The Chesapeake Bay Bridge being like one of the longest bridges in the world.
Which also couldn't survive after a fucking tanker truck or cargo ship hits a support beam.
All right, hold on. Which one do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Israel?
Throwing that one in there.
Yeah, no, okay, so listen. Israel is wilding, right? So hard that Jon Stewart felt like he had to say something about it. I saw the Daily Show segment. If you haven't seen it yet, I definitely recommend you go check it out.
If you haven't been watching the Daily Show every Monday for the past 2 months, you're doing yourself a huge disservice.
But Jon pretty much, you know, went in there and pulled up the footage and pulled out all the receipts for the complete hypocrisy that has been the Biden administration's approach to Israel versus their stance on Russia, right? And it's just so blatant at this point that it is the deciding factor for a lot of the millennial or younger demographic as far as Democratic voters are going in where they side with Biden in the 2024 election segment. And it's getting sketchy out here, dog.
Question. Do you think Jon Stewart's influence and the way he portrays media coverage, do you think that he is actually going to create more Trump voters? Or do you think he is going to maintain Biden voters but hold Biden more accountable?
No, I think that what we will see this voting cycle will be the on-trend lowest voter turnout in the history of this country.
Yep.
And it will be decided by the extremists, because at this point, that is who is running this country. It's so obvious, right?
I just want to put this out to my friend John, who's probably not listening. Like you said, while we were talking, he's like, oh yeah, you know, you all support this guy who's talking about the banning of meat emojis. And I'm like, yeah, but when the alternative is the government saying they can just legally assassinate political rivals, I'll take the bitching dude about the meat emojis.
You have a lot of people who have very strong stances that they are not wavering on or not willing to waver on. And that is why, despite the craziness that is the Republican Party at the moment, because let's be honest, the Republican Party is clearly the crazier party at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You can... a lot of them will try to check you about the moral ground of things like DEI or... what was it, the 1619 program, yep. Critical race theory.
Ask them to define woke.
Transgender just identity.
Ask them to define woke.
They have completely made their policy ground on these moral arguments, right? So when you try to talk to them about how those things will make our economic status better, they can't really point to anything other than their Republican... representatives look rich, right? Like, those guys are rich, right? So if we follow what those guys are saying, then obviously we'll be rich too. Then you look at what the Democrats are doing, right? And the Republicans' tactic at the moment is stonewall every single Democratic
plan.
To make it look like they don't get anything done. I was talking to a couple of my conservative friends too, and I'm like, look, man, I'm like, Joe Biden's getting a lot done for this country, right? Like the CHIPS plan, the Build Back Better plan, the parts of it that he was able to get passed, the unemployment rate is down at record numbers.
Disastrously done. We are out of Afghanistan.
They make it look like the Democrats can't get anything done, right? So they can go, look, they don't get anything done. And the reason why they're not getting done is because they're too busy giving benefits to all the people but you.
And right? Republicans themselves can't coordinate to get anything done themselves. So they're like, they can't get anything done. And when Democrats are like, they can't get anything done either, they just go, well, why don't you get anything?
Yeah, Joe Biden, despite his... poll numbers, right? He's getting a lot done for the benefit of the country, right? He has been one of the most labor-friendly presidents that we have had, despite...
And Joe Biden is smart enough to know to eat his applesauce and take naps and let his administration to handle everything.
It is unfortunate, very much so, and I feel like a lot of people would say that unfortunate is a very unfortunate understatement, his stance on Israel and their very clear genocidal approach towards the Palestinian people. And there's no way that you can look at that.
By the way, some of those, some of the World Central Kitchen workers were Americans.
Which brings up an interesting point that I don't think anybody is really addressing at the moment, because it's already kind of obvious what the answer is, which is why the question and contention lies again on the left, which is a whole nother thing that I don't really think we have the time to get into right now. But would Donald's approach be any different? Would Donald's approach be any different? No, he's clear. He has made it very clear, especially by moving the U.S. embassy to what? Wasn't it Jerusalem? No,
Jerusalem. It was Jerusalem.
Yeah. To Jerusalem.
Instead of, I believe it was Tel Aviv before.
As a clear sign of who he stands with. So, we are mad at Joe Biden for not doing what is clearly the morally righteous thing and calling Israel out on their shit. But, people who are like, this is why I'm voting for Trump... it's like Trump would do the exact same thing. But honestly, I don't think there's too many of those people out there either. This is the fucked up thing. This is why I don't think anybody's going to turn out to actually vote, because what we are being faced with here is literally the douche and turd sandwich.
It is the current fire or the potential of a greater fire.
It's like we put the fire out by throwing Palestinians onto it, or we just let the fire rage on and burn the entire country down, right? And I know that's a fucked up analogy, but like literally, that's like what the U.S. is doing right now. Well, Joe Biden is like,
we're talking about burning things down. How about we talk about the Raptors' new fire logo after this break?
Look, it's a flood!
It's a flood!
It's flooding!
Get away!
Quick, we need to get to higher ground!
Open the floodgates!
Why can't we talk about
it? It is time to talk.